Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company update, also kind of an introduction to CanStar Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ROX, and on the OTC markets under the symbol CSRNF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Rob Brugman. Now, Rob, I wanted to bring you on the show because it was just a couple weeks ago that we had a call with Brian Lenny, and Brian outlined what he liked about CanStar Resources. I posted that on the weekend show. We got a very good response on the back of that, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show to really outline and further explain what the program is this year to move forward with this Golden Bay project. That's the project that the company holds in Newfoundland. Rob, give us a little background, please, on the Golden Bay project in terms of historic work and what drew you to this project, please.
Sure, yeah. So the project's been known, or at least parts of it known, to hold gold mineralization for at least the past 30 years. And there was significant work done in the late 80s, including some drilling on the core of what's now our entire claim package, which is over 600 square kilometers. At that point, as is often the case, it was the portion of the property that's closest to the highway, which happens to be around the center of our property. There was work done there by a company called Westfield, and they did pretty exhaustive soil sampling, showed some really interesting gold anomalies in soil. They did some trenching and then some drilling, about 10,000 meters in total of drilling, less than 100 holes, and about, on average, less than 100 meters per hole. So pretty shallow. There's been some work done on it since, but nothing really meaningful. And they left the project at that point because they had some good grades, you know, gram to 4 grams, but the widths were relatively narrow. Then the property just sat there. Some work was done on pieces of it in 2009 to 2011, but very little. What really changed things was in 2019, there were some prospectors who had picked up all these claims and were doing some regional prospecting, and they came across visible gold. So even though there was gold known on this project for decades, it had always been associated with sulfides and wasn't visible. So they found this gold visible gold in quartz veins in a number of places. And the best sample they had assayed over 4,000 grams per ton of gold, which is obviously pretty spectacular. So that was a major transformation on the property. They picked up some additional claims. They also attracted Altius Minerals to the story. Altius took a look at it, added a claim block around it just to lock up the entire district. And then we're looking for a company to put this into. I have a pre-existing relationship with Altius, and then also CanStar Resources, which for all intents and purposes at that point was a shell company with some base metal properties in Newfoundland. Basically put everything together because CanStar was looking for a CEO. I was looking for a new gold project, found this one with Altius. And so we put everything together. Altius got some more equity. We got 100% option, and have been off to the races so far.
All right, Rob, let's then talk a little bit about the location of Golden Bay, this project in Newfoundland. There's been a huge rush of companies into this area. A lot of people have their eyes on Newfound Gold, but there's a number of other companies, even ones that I'm invested in the area. Give us a little more understanding of where this Golden Bay project is to some of the other well-known explorers in Newfoundland.
Sure, yeah. So we're in southern Newfoundland. And when you look at Newfoundland in general, most of these types of deposits are in a formation called the Dunnage Zone. And then within that, there's a subzone called the Exploits. And so a lot of the companies you'll hear talking about the Dunnage Zone or the Exploits subzone. Really what this relates to is there are really significant regional structures, these basically related to the formation of the island of Newfoundland, which happened roughly 450 million years ago when two continental plates collided. So all throughout central Newfoundland, you have these structures like the Grub Line, the Day Cove Thrust, the Hermitage Flexure. And these are deep-seated structures that were conduits for gold-bearing fluids that came up the surface and resulted in pretty decent grade mineralization at a number of locations throughout central Newfoundland. What I think kicked off the current gold rush was newfound gold with the Queensway project, and that's about it's about 100 kilometers roughly from our project to the north. In 2019, they drilled a hole and it intersected 19 meters of 93 grams per ton of gold. So you had, you know, both fantastic grades and fantastic intercept. It's orogenic gold. Their view of it was it's epizonal. And the reason that's significant is they compared it to Fosterville, and specifically at Fosterville, they compared it to the Swan Zone, which is this really fantastic zone of high grade. So that got people looking for more of that mineralization. Now, the reason newfound gold is significant to us is we believe we're on the same structure. So they have the Grub Line, they have the Appleton Fault as well. But that Grub Line extends down the south. We think either it's the same or, you know, maybe we've got a slightly different regional fault, but we have the Day Cove Thrust at the same margin of the Dunnage Zone where it connects with the Gander. We've got similar geology. We've got similar styles of mineralization, even down to you can get some anomalous grades of stibnite, which is significant. And coincidentally, Fosterville also has stibnite in that. So I'd say, you know, we're a couple of years behind newfound gold with where they are in their Queensway project and the exploration, but we're also watching them very closely because what they learn through their drilling, and they're doing some pretty significant drilling with a 200,000 meter drill program, we'll certainly be able to apply that to our property and hopefully vector in on where the best gold mineralization is.
All right, Rob, let's talk about the work that you guys have planned for this year. How are you going to further isolate some of these targets, and are you expecting to get a drill on the ground this year?
Yeah, so we certainly want to drill, you know, and our investors want us to drill. Drilling does get expensive, so we're going to limit it at first. And we're going to try to do whatever we can that's cheaper and on the ground, just to make sure that when we do start drilling, it's in the best possible places. So we'll have a two-pronged approach to exploration. The one prong is regional, so this is very grassroots. This is going to be, well, right now we're doing some lake sediments. We're going to be flying LIDAR so we can look at regional structures. And that just is going to help us get into the right area where we want to take a look at some of the rocks and do some soil sampling. Part of the reason we do that is to also meet spending commitments on these claims, because every year you have to spend a certain amount of money to keep them in good standing. So that'll be a portion of the budget. But then the exciting stuff really is going to be looking at the more advanced targets, which are in the central portion of the property. And before I'd mentioned, there was this area which we called a Kendall target, and that's where they found that 4,000 gram per ton grab sample. And that's the work we did last year was heavily focused on that area, and then a target 2 kilometers to the northeast called the Blowout target. So that's where we found some of the best grades on the property to date and that visible gold. So there, where we get outcrop, then we'll be doing more trenching, because the trenching will unveil vein-style mineralization. If there's visible gold there, we'll get that, and then we'll do some channel sections too, just to see at surface. It's almost like you're drilling at surface, basically, but it's pretty low cost, and it gives you a good indication as to what you may find at surface. So we'll do that where we can, and then we're in the best area. We're going to drill under that. The thing that's going to guide us as well is currently we're doing some ground mag surveys, And that's going to give us a better understanding of what's going on underneath the ground in terms of rock formations and potential cross-cutting structures. So I would imagine the first areas we'll drill will be the Kendall target, where we've got this really nice high grade, and then also the blowout target, because there last year when we did the soil sampling, it's got a big soil anomaly that stretches a kilometer and a quarter. It's up to about 400 meters wide. And at both ends, we've got some grab samples that assay anywhere from 10 to 30 grams per ton. So in terms of just size of footprint, yeah, it's a nice big area. We'll do some trenching there. Likely we'll be able to do that in May. If we get some good results from those trenches, then we'll drill there as well. There may also be some targets, both at Blowout and Kendall, where we can't necessarily do trenching because of ground conditions or because there's too much overburden and till. And so there we may have to drill, but there'll be shallow holes just to see what we get, and we'll look at the geology and type of mineralization. But yeah, definitely want to get in there and drill, say May, June timeframe to start.
Okay, so something for everyone to look forward to. Now, I want to talk about the team too, because that is one of the key aspects that really drew Brian Lenny to this company, especially some of the geos that are on your technical advisory committee. You have David Palmer, he's with Probe Metals. You have Dr. Lawrence Winter, he's with Altius Minerals. That Altius Minerals is also connected in terms of holding shares, about 11% of the company. Take us through a little bit of your background and highlight some of the team as well, please, some of these well-known geologists.
Sure. Yeah, no, and that's a good question. And they're connected. So my background, I'm an engineer, but really more of a finance person. And I was a research analyst for a long time, looking at small caps and then investing in Canadian equities for one of the big Canadian banks, where I invested a lot of money in mining. What I am not is a geologist. And yeah, that's certainly a drawback for this role. And so you can say to some extent that I'm making up for my own shortcomings by having these three technical advisors. You know, I know my weaknesses. I don't profess to be an exploration geologist or have the skills to pull that off. So why not put together a technical advisory committee where I do have that skill set? So having those three individuals involved are really beneficial for me in guiding the exploration program and the team. And they're really good individuals, and I think quite motivated. So David Palmer was on the board already, but he's got fantastic experience in the Abitibi, excellent track record in terms of making new discoveries. And then with his last company selling that as well, you got Lawrence Winter, who is probably, you know, one of the top geologists, if not the top geologist in Newfoundland in terms of his knowledge there. You know, has a vested interest as well through Altius's equity position. And then recently I brought on Laurie Curtis, who I've worked with in the past. And you know, he's got 40 years of experience, both as geologists running companies. And he was also a mining analyst. So he's got a pretty rounded skill set. So yeah, those people are excellent in terms of guiding the work here, because it is a complex project from a geological perspective. And then I've got a local team in Newfoundland, which has been important because of COVID. We can't really bring people in. And the VP of exploration that we brought in at the beginning of this year, her name is Dawn Evans-Lambswood. She's a structural geologist, and that's important because structure is very important here on this type of deposit. And then also she's very familiar with the Queensway project because she was a principal author on the 43-101 report for that project for Newfound Gold when they went public.
All right. Thanks for that update on the team. And again, what Brian Lenny even pointed out, I believe it was last weekend show, is how important it is to have some of these larger shareholders also taking part in the technical team. When it comes to share structure, I'm seeing just under 73 million shares outstanding, right around 93 million on a fully diluted basis. Adventus holds about 24%. Altius holds about 11%. Both of those companies are part of the technical team. Management and board holds about 11%. Rob, how much cash does the company have in the bank, and how much cash are you planning on spending this year on the project and on exploration?
So we currently have about $2.4 million in cash. We try to keep G&A spending very low. We'll favor equity compensation over cash salaries. So that helps on the G&A front. So we try to direct as much money as we can into the ground. Of that $2.4 million, about $1.3 million came from a flow-through financing that we did in December. And so that has to be directed into the ground. So that's going to all be spent on exploration. And then there'll be some additional spending as well. So roughly speaking, we still have to finalize the budget, but it'll be about $1.5 million for the first phase of this program, which would be funded, and then the rest will keep funding G&A for at least a year, probably longer, given the burn rate. Obviously, what we'd like to do is get some very good results from the beginning of the exploration program. That'll justify raising more money. You know, once you start drilling, it's not super expensive. It's roughly $200 a meter where we are, which is a reasonable amount. But I mean, if you start to do a big drill program because of what you've discovered, yeah, we'll definitely need more cash. But for the first part of that program, it'll be fully funded, and I think we'll be able to generate some really good results.
All right, Rob, we're going to wrap it up there. But if anybody has any follow-up questions for Rob regarding Canstar or the exploration program that is going on this year, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those addressed for you, and we will follow up as we get a little bit more information and some more news on some of the work that is ongoing. Rob, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the introduction and update today.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I appreciate you having me.